More discussions with Emily Lee, formerly of the AUB Polygamy Group, about polygamy, the negative effects of it on children and adults. Next on Polygamy, What Love Is This? This is part two of many segments that we've had discussing with Emily Lee about the polygamy culture and what it does with the people who are in the groups, the members who are abused in various ways. Emily is from the All Red Polygamy Group, and she was born and raised in the group, and her father is now the leader of the group. So welcome back, Emily. Thank you.
Thank
again
you
for coming and sharing your heart. It's sometimes difficult to even go back, and sometimes going back, you relive it, and that can be painful. And as we heal, talking about it, I think, is also helpful in healing.
It is. I agree.
And it's also important for our viewers, especially anybody who's in the group, a polygamy group, and they're thinking about getting out. This is encouraging to them. It's okay to get out.
Yeah.
It's okay to leave and seek help after you leave to get out.
It really is.
We ended last time about how it's so difficult to make choices and make our own decisions because we have been so controlled all of our lives.
Right.
Making decisions that they want us to make rather than what we want to make. So that was our final question last time. But this time, what does their religious doctrine, now their religious teachings, and in my experience, are heavy duty stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's 24/7. You get this religious teaching in your mind day and night, and especially on Sundays. But what does that do? They have weird doctrine, very strange doctrines.
It is very strange.
What does that do to us that is so disabling that we become victimized by their religious doctrine?
Mm-hmm. Right. It takes away any identity, any personal identity that anyone has. And it causes, again, like we talked about, there's so much fear. It's such a fear-based culture that you become a people pleaser. You do say yes to everything and everyone.
Right.
And you're an easy target for other people to abuse. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of you, exactly. And the doctrine, no one can ever live up to the expectations of the doctrine and of the works that are expected and required for you to obtain.
That's right. Jesus said in Matthew, I think it's 5:48, be ye perfect. And they believe that means that you have to be sinless. They believe that that's, and Jesus wouldn't have said it if you couldn't do it. So do it, you know, be perfect.
Right.
And everything you do in your life must be perfect. And if it's not, then you fail. And if you fail, then you're shamed.
Exactly.
Right? And then you're afraid God's going to come and get you. At least this happened with me.
Right.
And when I got out, when I left the group, I brought all of that with me. It was still in my head.
Yeah, it doesn't just go away because you're out.
Right, it doesn't. Now, I rejected God, at least the God they taught me about. I rejected him, not knowing he was the false God. But so I didn't want to have anything to do with God at that point. Thank God that he understood that and showed me his real self. But the Kingstons had something, the leader, the one who started the Kingston group, Eldon Kingston, he prepared what he called perfecting meditations. And if you meditated on these different issues every day, you would become a perfect human being. Now, how can you live up to that? How can any human being possibly live up to that kind of an expectation?
No one can.
You fail.
You fail daily, all the time.
Yeah, and then you're shamed. So what does that do to us?
So between the shame that you give yourself and the shame that people in the community and the leaders give you, it devastates your soul. It tears down any self-esteem that you may have. And it causes further internal damage to
emotional and
your emotional and psychological.
Now, I want to mention here for our viewers we're not coming on this, approaching this topic today as victims.
Right.
We have been victims. We have been victimized. We're not playing the victim card right now because we've recovered and we're still in the process of some of the things still. But we know who our healer is. We know who our savior is.
Exactly.
We've rejected everything and we're not playing the victim card, but there are victims we are talking to. And we want you to know that there is better hope and there is better help for you outside of the polygamy group.
There is.
And one of the things I wanted to ask you is, you know, while you're in the group, people will say, if you ever leave the group, you will be sad. You will be have a miserable life. You'll have a miserable life now, and you'll have a miserable life in eternity. You will regret it. You'll want to come back, but you can't come back. You know, all of these fearful things. And yet I haven't been happier.
I think it's the opposite.
I think so.
You're miserable and jealous and angry and upset all the time. When you're in it and you get out of it and you get to experience.
You get that freedom.
Freedom.
Uh-huh.
And you get to heal and you can have your own personal relationship
with
the Lord.
Yes.
And your life changes in ways that you don't expect. You never know how great it can be.
Mm-hmm. In fact, most of the people, what's interesting about this is most of the people, there's only a few people I know of that ever went back.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them stayed out because they were happier.
Right.
They made a good life for themselves and their families. And they look back and they can see all that fear mongering that was done to them. They keep them held in captive by fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freedom is a wonderful thing.
It really is.
And it was God's idea to start with, freedom was. I think. But they want us to stay in for the group's.
They do.
The group's interest. And so I ask you then, do you regret leaving? And if you could go back and change anything in your process of getting out, would you change anything?
No. No, I don't regret leaving. I would never go back. I would be incredibly happy to see all of my family.
Oh, me too.
And even friends get out of the situation and have freedom in their life, have the ability to do appropriate things and live with happiness and joy. He's not a mean God. He doesn't want us to suffer.
That's right.
He doesn't want us to be miserable.
Yeah.
He is a good God. And there's no reason. We don't get a bigger kingdom in heaven.
Right.
This isn't a test to see if we can overcome these trials and obstacles of jealousy and whatever else comes up.
Yeah, I did a program about that a while back where polygamy doesn't heal you from, or keep you and change you from being jealousy. It actually causes it.
It causes exactly.
All the problems that they want us to get healed from by living polygamy.
Right. I don't think it ever goes away.
Yeah.
I don't think that you get married as a second, third, fourth wife, and by the time you're ready to go meet your maker, you aren't a jealous person anymore.
No.
I don't know anyone that didn't struggle with it still.
That's exactly right. Go ahead.
I wanted to say in the previous question that we talked about, a lot of people think that being held captive or being controlled or stuck in that is being physically restrained or physically held hostage. And so I think a lot of people say, why don't you leave?
Yeah,
why don't you get out?
Exactly.
And there's got to be more talk like this and more of an understanding that people do get stuck in a mental jail.
Mm-hmm.
They are
the invisible
held
bars.
Captive by the things that they're taught and the fear that's ingrained in them from birth.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like viewers to understand also that it's not just being physically restrained
for sure
that holds you captive.
Although some do physically restrain, and I know there was some of
there
that.
There are some of that.
But it is. It's a mental and emotional restraint and a religious restraint that they hold on you. And another point I would like to make on that topic is when people leave, if they were so miserable and really did have a miserable life after they left, like they're threatened of, why do so many who get out write books and explain all these awful things that they've been doing to them? Why are they write articles? Why do they do documentaries on TV and on streaming videos and escaping polygamy where it shows them getting people out? Why all of this take place if those people are so miserable for getting out? No, they want to expose all the misery that's going on inside the group, not outside the group.
And I think people inside the group think that it's their revenge or retribution.
They do. They want to get back.
Right. They're trying to get back at someone or something.
Right.
And that's their only explanation. They can't understand that it's they want to help other people experience actual freedom.
Right. And it all boils down to the religious dogma. God does not require polygamy. It does not. He does not require polygamy. And that's how they hold, especially the women in the groups. God will not be angry with you if you leave polygamy.
No, he won't. He'll be happy for you.
He'll be very happy. And he wants you to seek him, to seek the truth, not to seek some atheistic lifestyle or whatever. But but it's all a process. And we just want to be able to make a difference in some people as they go through these. And the next thing I want to talk about is our relationships. And our relationships matter to God.
They do.
They do matter. Not only our relationship with Him, which He is the most important, most important of anything is our relationship with God, but our relationships with each other.
Yeah.
Our relationships with family and friends and neighbors and so on are very important to God. And He has a lot to say about them in the Bible. But how do polygamy groups obstruct and destroy the ability for people to have right and healthy relationship with others, especially the opposite sex?
Well, you're not honest. Nobody can live up to the doctrine and to what is expected. And so in your relationships, I think a lot of times you can't be who you really are, and you struggle with trust issues. It's really hard to trust people, and you have such a hard definition of what relationships should even be like and what you should even
safe relationships
right
no
right and because there's so much abuse and there's so much manipulation and coercion and things, it's really hard to, you don't even know how to have a relationship.
You
have these situations with say siblings, and maybe some people in the groups that become your friends, but you don't really know how to.
When you get out, how do you relate to people that doesn't know anything about your background and your culture and about who you are? You can't relate to them. There's no reference point for them.
Yeah.
And there's no reference point for us with them.
Right, right. And you're not taught how to communicate.
Right.
And again, you're not taught boundaries.
Right.
And so a lot of times you end up coming out and you end up with people that take advantage of you. You don't have boundaries. So it is really easy for people to take. And because you're trained the way you are, you give.
Right. And you never say no. We mentioned that a bit earlier. And I'd like to talk to anybody who's victimized in polygamy. It is okay to say no. It's okay to say no if something isn't right, if something doesn't feel right. One of the hardest things for me, because of the patriarchal system, is anytime a man said anything, I was to comply. Jump how high, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It didn't matter because it was a man and they had superiority over the female.
Right.
It didn't matter who that man was.
Yeah.
If he said jump, you jumped.
Exactly.
And you didn't quite question at all. And that's not healthy.
No, it's not healthy.
It's not safe.
It's not safe. And I think we see a lot of people that get out and they end up in very unsafe relationships.
Exactly.
Because of the way that they're taught and trained.
Nope. And that's, again, is where that predator can come along and exploit. When they find out that that's what's been going on in your life. Now, if wrongs are covered up, they'll never be made right. And staying in a polygamy group where you see wrongs being done to other human beings, to loved ones or anybody else, and we don't talk about it or expose it, how it's ever going to be fixed?
It won't be. And the leaders don't take anything to outside authority. So when abuses are reported to them, they don't get people real help.
Mm-mm.
They don't get them involved with resources and with the law and things that could actually help them.
Or they'll say, forgive and forget.
Yeah.
Go back and live your life and forgive them.
That is so dangerous.
It is very dangerous.
Multiple ways in every situation.
Uh-huh. It is. And it happens so much. And it happens a lot in Mormonism, too. There's a lot of abuse going on.
It really does. Yeah, it really does.
Now, you've been a guest 4 times in the past.
Yeah.
And this is our 4th and 5th and 6th time. Have you had any pushback from friends or family in or out of the group? Any comments that they've made to you about coming on and being so public with your... And you've also been on other platforms, too, talking about your experiences. What kind of pushback have you had, if any?
I haven't had a lot of pushback as far as things said to me. I have noticed a lot... I shouldn't say a lot. I've had several of my siblings that are in the group still that have deleted me off of all social media platforms.
Yeah.
And if I happen to run into them, they won't speak to me anymore. And I've gotten, you know, that also from other members of the work.
Yeah.
And so, that's been probably some of the biggest pushback.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard things like, oh, well, we had a great childhood. We had a ton of fun. We did all these things. We had so many siblings. There was always somebody to do something with. And that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the other truth that we were neglected.
Mm-hmm.
We were abused. We weren't taught the things that we needed.
That's true. And you were brainwashed and you were mind controlled.
Exactly.
Even having fun with your cousins and siblings didn't make that change. Didn't change that.
Exactly. So both things are true.
Yeah.
And that's something that I saw quite a bit after one of my first interviews that I had done was, you know, what's the point in coming out? What's the point in talking about this? And, you know, things were great. Things were fun. Well, yeah, they were at times. And they were also very destructive and incredibly demeaning and not safe. We weren't safe. I was not raised in a safe environment.
Right. Well, neither was I, for sure. When we had our conversation the other day, we talked about the threats that people would make about Jesus' condemnation on them and on their lives if they, you know, left, again, leaving the group or denied polygamy or denied Mormonism or any of that. But we wanted to quote from the Bible what Jesus said about condemnation, because maybe their Jesus would condemn them, but the Jesus of the Bible would not.
Right.
And so there's 2 quotes that I want to put up on the screen. One is from John 3:17, and the other one is from Romans 8:1. But Jesus said himself in John 3:17, he said, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Jesus didn't come to condemn you, Emily.
Right.
He came to save you. And there's no other agenda of Jesus condemning you. There's no agenda that if you just don't stay in polygamy, he will condemn you. No, he came to save, period.
And while he was here, who did he spend his time with? Who did he...
Sinners.
Who did he walk with?
Yeah.
Who did he... Whose houses did he sleep in?
Yeah.
Where was he?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't pick all of the perfect people.
No.
And spend his time with those people.
In fact, he raged. He had a chapter in Matthew 23 where he raged against the religious leaders.
Yeah.
Because of their stance, their right. condemning stance.
And the way that they treat people mm-hmm. that are underneath them.
Underneath them.
And right. that are less fortunate than
they are. Which is exactly what the Mormon religion does.
Yes.
Romans 8:1, which is a beautiful verse, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? So you can leave polygamy and come to Jesus, and you're not going to lose anything. You're going to gain everything by doing that. There is no condemnation. For those who have been threatened by condemnation, Jesus came to save you. He didn't come to condemn you. Remember that the next time somebody tries to condemn you for something that they said you should have done and you didn't do. Jesus alone is the Savior. So tell us about how did you react when you, how did you come to know that Jesus was good, you could trust him, that God is good, he's not the culprit here, the evil doctrine is the culprit, not God. What's your relationship with God now?
I have a great relationship, and I don't believe that I have to follow guidelines and religious rules and regulations and, you know, be in church every Sunday and do all mm-hmm. of the things that are required in the LDS church and in these fundamentalist groups. I did think as a teenager that I would join the LDS church. And that was something, if I left the AUB, then I would go to the LDS church.
Yeah.
And my ex-husband was, him and his parents had attended or were consistently attending like a non-denomination Bible-based church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went a few times and started to go a little bit more consistently. And the pastor there explained to me who Jesus was and about God loving us and wanting us to be happy. And obviously a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say for the majority of my life, but especially as a teenager, I just started praying on my own really consistently and maintaining. I can see a lot of ways that Jesus has worked mm-hmm. in my life and the ways that I've been blessed. And mm-hmm. I can't deny those things. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it's necessary to feel like I have failed because I don't do all of the work that needs to be done.
And that's the excitement of Christianity, is we're saved by grace, not by works.
Exactly.
Not by works at all.
Exactly.
And like you said, there's not a bunch of rules. Do this and don't do that and don't do this and you're condemned if you do. And the word of wisdom, throw it out the window. And you know, all of these
and
things.
And the three levels of heaven and...
And Jesus is Lucifer's brother.
You
know, all of that's just a lie. It's just a lie, that religious lies that
it
we
is.
Were told.
Yeah. And we were told them mm-hmm. so that someone could have control and power over us. It wasn't to benefit our lives.
Right.
These rules and there's an agenda behind what's happening
mm-hmm.
in these cultures, in these communities. Mm-hmm. And it's not to get people to heaven.
It's power, money, and sex is what polygamy
it
groups
is.
Are all about. The control of the people for all of that to happen.
Unfortunately, that is it.
So were you afraid of God when you left? Did you go through any of that fear that God was going to get you for leaving? Or did you happen to not have to worry about that part of it? Had you matured enough in religious belief?
I don't really remember being fearful in that way. I don't, and I've said this before in an interview with you, I attribute that a lot to my mom mm-hmm. and the way that she loved us and the way that she mm-hmm. taught us.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, she's like the outcast in the family. She's the bad one because She doesn't go to her meetings every Sunday, and you know, she doesn't
faithful.
Exactly. Yeah. She's not the faithful one. She's not in harmony and whatever else. And so I look at her children though, and she is one of the most loving, kindest.
Makes a big difference.
It really does. It really does. And I think that all of her children are that way as well.
Yeah. And see, my mother was just the opposite, absolutely the opposite of that.
And isn't that interesting?
Very indoctrinated. We were heavily indoctrinated and lived in the fear and the guilt. And one last comment. We're getting to the end of our time again, but there are resources out there
many
for people
resources.
Who want to get out. There's therapy. Shield and Refuge, our ministry, will help anyone or answer questions or refer. You know, refer people. You can get a hold of Emily or me or Shield and Refuge, and we will help you find the resources that you need. We will even help you get out if you want to leave, or help you stay out.
Yeah.
If you want to get out. So there's ways you can be helped. Whether you've got no kids or 10 kids, that doesn't matter. God wants you free.
Yes.
Freedom was His idea to start with.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was. And they also don't need to be afraid of the government. There are some government resources that are helpful
there
in addition.
There is vocational training and all kinds of ways that you can be helped. That's true. Well, thank you, Emily. We're out of time again, and it goes fast, and we've covered a lot of ground, and we just hope that it's helped people, and we urge you to contact us if we can answer questions or whatever else we can do. Just be encouraging.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You know, the last time we mentioned two of four ways that Jesus taught that we would die unforgiven and not go to celestial glory. The first one was to be self-righteous, which is what polygamy and Mormonism is all about. The second one is caring more about this life than the life to come. The third way to die in our sins is not to believe everything Jesus claimed to be. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "If you do not believe that I am He," meaning that He is God Himself, "you will die in your sins." There's no second chance, folks. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. The fourth way to die in your sins is to willfully and knowingly and stubbornly remain ignorant, hearing the truth and rejecting it. Polygamy is a religious lie. And we urge you, please, read and believe what Jesus has said about Himself and about eternal life, and asking God for His grace to forgive you and save you, and then turn and go God's way rather than any other way. Thank you for watching.
This has been the audio podcast of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. Polygamy, What Love Is This? Is produced by A Shield and Refuge Ministry. More information on this program, including the video version of it, can be found at whatloveisthis.tv. If you have any questions or need help getting free from Mormon fundamentalism, write us at contact@shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 1-800-877-425-9993.